Please follow with me as I read from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Let's open our service tonight with number 90.
Thank you, Wyman. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. We are moving along nicely now in our study of Hebrews with our Sunday school classes being tied in with the sermons each week. We did take a little break this morning, but we're back on track tonight, and we'll be looking at the last portion of chapter 5. I hope you had time to get to that in your classes this morning. This is the beginning of a section that introduces the topic of falling away from God. It's a frightening passage. I think one of the most frightening passages in all of the New Testament as you read on into chapter 6 at what the writer here says. Next week in your class and also in our sermon time, we'll be looking at this topic more closely. But tonight I want to stay in those closing verses of chapter 5. Every follower of Jesus Christ who starts out having put his hand to the plow, and then who turns back, and every Christian who yields to some strong temptation along the way and just throws the towel in, everyone who's ever done that or ever will do that has one thing in common. At some point in their journey, they stopped growing. That was the problem with three of the four seeds that Jesus talked about that fell into the soil in his parable of the sower. The first one didn't grow because it never even got into the soil. The second one stopped growing because the soil was too shallow and dry. The third one stopped growing because it was choked out with thorns and weeds. Only the fourth seeds that fell in that fertile soil continued to grow to the point that they bore fruit. Now, any believer who falters will begin to do so initially in always the same way. There is this slowing of growth and finally a stopping of growth. And that's what the Hebrew writer starts his warning with here in the latter part of chapter 5 going on into chapter 6. And he chastises these Christians for their failure to grow. Read again these verses beginning in verse 11. He says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn." You ever wish that you could teach someone something, a child or a young person or someone else, but there was just no real basis for you to begin your explanation and your teaching? It would require going back to such fundamentals and such rudiments that it would just take forever to bring them back up to speed again. That's the way the writer feels about these Christians. He said, "I'd love to go on into the deeper waters, but you folks would be lost. I would be talking over your head. You need to go back and really have someone teach you the fundamentals, the ABCs again." So he says, "I'd love to go on, but you're too slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." These Christians were not where they should have been. Milk is a fabulous thing for a newborn babe, and babies can live on milk quite well. There comes a point when the human body, as it grows and develops, needs more than just milk. If milk was all you'd ever had your entire life, I don't know what you'd be like today. you wouldn't have developed in the way you ought to. The body begins to need solid foods and stronger foods and meats and things like that in order to grow and be strong. God never intended us to stay on milk for our entire life. These folks had become Christians. They'd started out. Time had elapsed. But after a period of time had elapsed, those who observed them begin to notice something very strange, something unusual, something that was not right. They weren't growing. One of the qualities of any healthy organism is that it grows. Babies grow and trees grow. Churches grow. That's the way God has designed all of nature. That's the way He's designed His kingdom. That's the sign of health. Anytime you see growth taking place, if there is no growth, we become concerned over a period of time. If the failure to grow persists, we become alarmed at that. There's something wrong where growth does not continue. All new Christians need milk, but after 10 years, we should be alarmed if they're still holding on to the bottle. Now, the Hebrew writer talks about growth, and he's going to talk about the danger of this sustained lack of growth. And you never stay at a static level as a Christian. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. There's no such thing as just parking and staying in the same place. So the danger of not growing is that you are beginning that decline. Now, Christian growth begins with a commitment to grow. If you want to grow, if you want to check your own growth prognosis, we're going to look at some ways that we can begin to move forward if you've not been moving forward like you should. Growth begins with a commitment to grow. You've got to make a decision that you want to grow. And that's got to be a lifelong commitment. What are your commitments in life? Now, we've got all kinds of things we commit to, don't we? I mean, you commit to, you know, this group or that group or this hobby or that hobby or you know, some school or education enterprise. I mean, we make all kinds of commitments, and I hear people saying, you know, I've just got too many irons in the fire and I'm going to have to cut back on my commitments. And that's one of the problems we have. We need to look at our commitments. They can be good commitments or they can be bad commitments. They can develop you as a person or they can destroy you as an individual. But either way, your commitments will ultimately define you. You know, if I went around and asked you to make a list of all the things in your life that you're committed to, well, there's one good thing I know that you're all committed to. You're committed to being here with God's people on the Lord's Day evening here. And that's a great commitment to start your week by honoring God. Most of you I saw this morning, you've been here twice now today. What a great commitment and what a great habit that will develop you in the right direction. Now, if you tell me the things that you're really committed to in life, I can tell you pretty accurately where you're going to be in 20 years in whatever areas you've made commitments. These are the decisions that need to be made early on in our Christian life. Those habits ideally are started in those younger years, and as we move forward, it's hard to begin commitments and to even renew commitments once we've allowed old habits to set in. These commitments involve things such as associations with Christians, and not just Christians, but Christians who will challenge you. You know, I've got some Christian friends, and I enjoy being with them, but we don't ever get around to talking about spiritual things, and that's a shame. You know, when we're both believers in Christ, and we never talk about spiritual things. I've got some Christian friends, and as soon as we're together, I mean, we are talking about the Word, and we're excited about things. We're challenging each other and asking each other about our spiritual lives. And I love to be around my Christian friends that are like that, that challenge me, that make me become a better person. Commitments require an involvement in group Bible study, where we're digging into the Word and spending time learning and growing in our knowledge in this way. It requires commitment to personal devotional habits. And these are habits that need to be developed early on. They're hard to start later. Habits of reading your Bible on a daily basis, spending time in prayer, just time with God. But you've got to be serious You've got to be serious about becoming more and more like Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, Paul said, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds." That's where it starts. If you want to grow, if you want to be made new, if you want to be Christ-like, it starts by a transformed mind, the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, he says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, some of you might need to renew your commitments. You might need to realign your commitments. You might need to pull some of those irons out of fires that are not really profiting you and move your commitments into areas that will genuinely allow you to see growth in your life in the days ahead. There's another thing about commitment. If you're gonna grow, you need to follow the advice of the experts. If I go to a doctor and he makes some observations and says, "You know, you really, Joe, you sit too much. You need to get up and do more exercise, and you need to make some changes in your lifestyle." And maybe he gives me some medication, and he says, "You know, if you don't take care of this, then we're going to have to do some surgery somewhere down the road." Well, I'm going to listen. If I want to grow, if I want to change, if I want to improve, I'm going to listen to what that individual says to me, and I'm going to put those things into practice. If a coach says, "You know, you need to get on this strict training program and you need to eat these certain foods and watch your diet, if you want to grow and be successful as an athlete, you're going to listen to your coach." You listen to the expert in their respective fields. You must do what they say. And for the Christian who wants to grow, the expert is the voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, James is encouraging the Christians there to grow, to move beyond some of the things that will otherwise pull them down negatively. He says, "Get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And then he says that well-known phrase, "Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says." Don't just listen, do it. When you go to the doctor, don't just listen, do what he says. When you are in training, don't just listen to the words of the coach, do what he says. When you read God's word, don't just read through it and say, "Now I've done my daily Bible reading." Do what it says. Put it into practice. You know, it's hard because we come to church and we'll go to Bible class and we'll hear something and we'll say, "Ooh, I need to work on that." And we'll hear a sermon and we'll think, "Ah, yeah, I need to make some changes in that department." And you'll come back on Sunday night. And you hear so much so often that it's easy sometimes just to put that all in the overload category and say, "Yeah, I need to make changes." But no growth ever occurs until you identify specific areas and you concentrate on them and you begin to work in certain areas one at a time. You could sit down and read your Bible for an hour and you'd have enough to keep you busy for 6 months. You need to look in your life in areas in which you need to grow. Areas either of opportunity. And I think sometimes we just concentrate on the negative areas, and we are always working on the negative areas, trying to get ourselves up out of a rut. We need to also work on the areas of opportunity. If you are gifted in some area, then grow in that area. Read about how you can improve yourself and grow so you can become all you can be. If you have a gift for sharing the gospel with someone, well, grow in that area. Become as good as you can be. So, yes, we need to lift up our low points, but we also need to grow in our strong points as well. I'll just tell you, one of the things that I am working on right now, and I'll just share this with you so you'll know. I have gone through a period of time where I don't always exhibit the best attitude, and it's seen probably in complaining or grumbling, and you probably wouldn't know it, but if you talk to Vicki, she could probably tell you. Talk to Dwight and Bryce, and they'll tell you over the last year I've done my fair share of grumbling and complaining. And that one area In my reading, I came across the children of Israel and how God felt about their constant grumbling and complaining. And I don't want God to do to me what he did to them. And I want to grow in that area. So I'm right now, that's an area I've been concentrating on and I've been praying about. And I hope that those that are closest to me, that I live with and work with, will hopefully see some improvement in that area. And if you ask them in a few months, you think Joe's growing in that area? I hope they can say yes. So find an area where you need to grow and begin to work in that area of your life. And then another thing about this growth, we need to provide the proper climate in our lives for growth. Not all plants grow in all climates. I've been out in California, and I have seen those lemon trees, and when they're in blossom, I don't think there's anything in the world that smells any better than the flower of a lemon tree. And if I could, I would have lemon trees growing in my backyard right here in Springfield, Missouri. But they don't grow here in Missouri. I wish they did, but they don't. And there are certain things that won't grow in climates that are inhospitable to them. Now, the fruit of the Spirit does not grow equally well in the hearts of all Christians. Did you know that? More importantly, do you know why the fruit of the Spirit does not grow equally well in the hearts of all Christians? This is why some Christians hinder the Spirit. They hinder the Spirit by the things that they are exposed to, the things they expose themselves to, the things they think about, the things they read about, the things they talk about. And the Spirit of God is hindered in being able to produce fruit in the life of that person. Some people grieve the Spirit of God by being places they have no business being, by associations that they should not be having. And the Spirit of God is dwelling within us, and yet we take that Spirit into places where He does not want to go. And he is grieved because of that. And some people will even go so far that they quench the Spirit of God within them. There can't be growth. There can't be fruit produced if we provide an inhospitable environment for the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God flourishes in hearts that are cleaned and made ready for his habitation. There's a great verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, sometimes whenever you're ready to really hit a diet hard or try to do a real change and get into some physical fitness program, you'll be encouraged to have a purge. Many of you ever purged? You know, you drink all these fruit juices and water and everything else, and you just clean your system out, and you're all fresh, and you're ready to go. I think sometimes we need to do that spiritually. We need to purge ourselves spiritually. And this verse in Philippians 4:8 is a great verse. If you want to have a several-day purge just to clean your spiritual life out, here it is. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I challenge you. Go for one day and live out this verse to the letter. Do not let anything come into your mind that is not one of these qualities, that which is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Now, you'll have to make some big changes. One, you can't watch television and live out this verse. You can't. I'm serious. You can't. You probably can't listen to the radio, at least some stations, and live out that verse. Go on a purge. Expose yourself to nothing that does not fit the definition of what the Spirit of God wants us to think about. Try that for a few days and see if you don't provide an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit of God will love to be part of and to be part of your life. You'll be creating an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit will gladly take up residence. And then lastly, let me just say, if you're serious about all this, if you really want to grow, monitor your progress. Nobody is moving toward a goal in any area of life without monitoring their progress. If you're training for the marathon, you're going to be keeping track of your mileage, and you're going to be upping your miles and growing in your endurance, and you'll track all of that. If you're doing anything in life, you track your progress. I remember as a child, we had a closet there off the kitchen we called the broom closet, and we kept the the stool and the brooms and all in there. But one of the things that I most remember about that little closet was that there were pencil marks all up the inside of the door facing there that measured the height of my brother and I. And we would have a little mark there and how old we were and the date, and then it'd be a little higher. And so our growth was charted, and we lived in that same house the whole time I was a boy growing up and beyond. And I could go back, and there was my little growth chart there, my progress through the years. As Christians, we need to monitor this kind of thing very closely. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." Paul was able to go back periodically on visits to this church and get reports from this church, and he was able to say, "Wow, you're growing. I can see the love is increasing from the last time." You know, we see families sometimes that have young children, and if you don't see them very often, if you don't only see them in intervals of time, 6 months or a year, the first thing you always say is, "Wow, I can't believe how those kids have grown." And wouldn't it be wonderful if it could be said of us here at Sunset when people come back, "Your faith is growing, it's obvious. Your love is growing, it's obvious, by the things you're doing and the spirit that is sensed within this congregation." Peter tells us that we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to just close with a question tonight. Are you growing? If not, is it because of one of these things we've talked about? Have you not gotten serious with it? Are you not providing the right atmosphere for that? Are you really listening to the Word of God and following the advice of the one who knows us best? If you can't tell if you're growing, ask the one you live with. Ask one that you're close to tell you. And do a little bit of critical evaluation. Look back over the last year or so and get someone to help you honestly do some self-appraisal in this area. Are you growing? I admire so many people that are people of great faith and right here in this congregation. But I tell you, one of the things that excites me the most, I love to see young people grow in faith, but the thing that really encourages me at this stage in my life, I love to see older Christians who are still learning and who are still growing and who are not ready to be sidelined. And when I see that, it makes me want to be that way. I want to be an older Christian someday who is still eager to grow and to learn and to serve. That's the kind of person I want to go out like. And we've got a lot of folks just like that in this congregation. Tonight we're going to sing the song of invitation that Wyman has selected. And if you need the prayers of God's people, if you need to make a recommitment to your growth, we'll pray for you tonight. If you need tonight to start out on that path and begin with that milk formula, that's wonderful. Just don't ever stop there. Keep growing beyond the milk to the solid meat of the Word. If you need to come tonight, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.